So good. Who's ready for the word? So good. So ready for the word. We're in the middle of the series of the presence of God. God's presence is our priority. It's a number one kingdom culture that we have, kingdom culture value. And we've been preaching into this thing, sharing into this thing in our life groups, on the pulpit here and other places. And today I want to talk about that God is building building the dwelling place of God, building us into a dwelling place of God in the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 2, let's stand together and read this together, which is good for you, good for me, so we can read together the Word of God. There we go, 18. For through him we both, Jews and Gentiles, have access by one Spirit to the Father. Now therefore you are no longer strangers or foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In whom you also together for a dwelling place of God by the Spirit. May the Lord bless his word. You may be seated. What does it mean to become a dwelling place of the Lord? It says we are being built into a dwelling place of God. What does it mean to become the habitation of God? Now, Paul had a revelation about this in Corinthians, and he says, hey, we are actually now the temple of the Holy Spirit. That was, of course, very new, because in the Old Covenant, of course, the temple where God's glory dwelt was in the Holy of Holies. Nobody could ever get into there, only the priest once a year. It was in the Ark of the Covenant representing the presence of God. But of course, we know that Jesus Christ, when he gave his life, Catherine talked about it a few weeks ago, about the whole thing that Jesus was the veil, and the veil was torn from top to bottom because Jesus Christ gave his life. And because of that now, because of his blood that was shed and the forgiveness of the world, that's why we can now come boldly into the presence of God. Yeah. Wonderful. Not only that, you and I are now the presence. There is now, you are the temple. You are the habitation of God. But God is growing us still. Yeah, that's true by the power of the Holy Spirit. But God is still growing us and building us as a community into the temple of God, into the dwelling place of God. So powerful. So 1 Corinthians 6, you probably had on there already, about the being temples of the Holy Spirit. So beautiful. And we are all invited to host the presence of God. Yeah. Yes, he's already in you by the Holy Spirit if you're a Christian. But the thing is, though, we are hosting his presence in our lives. And we're hosting the presence of God in our church together. What an incredible privilege, both individually to steward this beautiful thing of hosting the presence of God, but also as a church corporately in this way. And so we as the family of God, we've been invited to become the dwelling place of God by the Holy Spirit, built together. Now, Ephesians 2, where we just read before, it starts about being grafted in. That we as Gentiles, if you are not a Jew, but you are a believer, right, then you are a Gentile believer, and you've been grafted in through Jesus Christ, grafted into the family of God by the Holy Spirit, and so now you are a son and a daughter of God. We've been adopted. It says here in verse 18, for through Christ we both have now access by one Spirit to the Father. So Jesus Christ has given us access to the Father. That is so beautiful. Jesus says in John 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. Yeah. That's so beautiful. There is no other way. That's why he's called the Waymaker. We've just been singing about him. He is our Waymaker. He is the only way to the Father. He is the only way into the presence of God. That's absolutely powerful. Yeah. And the most beautiful thing there is in the world is when we are restored and when we are reconciled to our Heavenly Father. Yeah. It's the most beautiful thing. And then also a beautiful thing, a very important thing, is that we have a revelation of the Father heart of God. We need a revelation of the Father heart of God. And sometimes you can see in prayer meetings or when you're praying with somebody, you will know what their revelation of God is. Are they always talking about Jesus? Because they understand Jesus forgave my sin and he is my Lord, Savior, I love him. But what about the Father? Do they ever use the word Father? Because the Father, reality of the Father heart may have not been a revelation in their lives yet. It's all about Jesus, which is wonderful. But God wants us to have a revelation about Jesus and the Father and, of course, the Holy Spirit. Some people only say God all the time. That is fine. But actually, what Jesus said is this when he taught about prayer. He says what? Matthew 6:9. You say it all together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Jesus taught us to say, my Father, our Father, my Father. Holy is your name. What you really believe about God and his character will come out in the way you pray, the way you pray or the way you don't pray. Yeah. In your life is so important because basically of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speak, right? It will come out in your life. Is it only Jesus? Or have you had a revelation of the Father heart of God? And when you pray, you don't pray like an orphan, but you pray like a son, like a daughter. I still have people sometimes pray and think, I don't know what you're doing and how you're praying. Because the thing is, though, you know, there's not this deep revelation about the Father heart of God in people's lives. It's the most important revelation you will ever have in your life. Did you know that some of the revivals of the last 100 years or 50 years have been, like I talk about Toronto, Pensacola, Brownsville, and some others. Do you know that all of them have basically had at the core of their revelation, a core of the revival was the revelation of the Father heart of God. It will get you into another dimension of power, anointing, identity, destiny. It's just amazing. There's actually a Father Heart School. If you ever want to know more about this, you can talk to you guys. Toby and Liv here because they're doing two schools. If you want to know more about the Father Heart of God, then there's a school, a two-week school, right? One week. And you can go to wherever you go, Tauranga or somewhere else. And they go in and then you go deep into a revelation of the Father heart of God. It is so incredible, foundational for our living and foundational for sonship. Not only is it important because of your view of God, that he is a good, good father. He's not an angry God. He's not trying to beat you up. He's not trying, you know, like you're never good enough for me type thing. Because in Jesus Christ, we are totally good enough, right? So that's wonderful. It's not about a view of God only as a good and loving father, but it's also about who you are as a son and a daughter, the way you see yourself. And the way yourself, you find your identity in the Father's love. So we need to have an understanding of God as Father before we even can understand our identity as a son and a daughter of God. That's good, isn't it? Yeah, I love it. See, God is building a family on earth. Right from Abraham all the way through us right now, he is building a family on the earth. What Abraham started right back there, he continues through you and me. We as a church are not an enterprise. We're not a company. We're not a business. We're not even an organization. Right? We're not called organization. We are a little bit organizational aspects to who we are because we deal with people and a lot of people. So there has to be organizational. Otherwise, it will be chaos. Right? But we are not an organization. The primary revelation of the Bible is that we are a family. Come on, let's say it together. We are family. I've got all my brothers and sisters and me, right? We are family. Come on, we are family together in this way. I know there's other descriptions of who we are. We are also the bride, which is also beautiful because God is wooing the bride. I mean, we're going to marry Jesus, aren't we? He's our bridegroom, right? We are the bride. So it's all in the family. It's all in the family. We are God's children, family of God, and we are marrying Jesus. He's going to be a husband. We are the wife, and it's going to be a happy family forever. Who's excited about this? Anybody? And someone is saying, not yet, not yet, not yet. I still want to live my life a little bit here. Yeah, okay, he's not coming back right now, you know. And then, of course, other descriptions like we're an army, and we are a body, and it's all good. But the primary ones are really about family and bride. The relational aspect of who we are is so incredibly important. That's why he says in verse 19, we are part of the household of God. We are the offspring of the Holy Spirit. You and I are born again as sons and daughters of God, just like God. You are born in your spirit, 100%, like God when you are born again into his family, sons and daughters of God. Kids. Kids. We are King's kids. We are kids of God. Now, one of our kingdom culture values, which we'll teach about a bit later, but I'm highlighting right now because I'm talking about it, is church is a family. Yeah. It's one of our core values. Actually, more than that, church is a covenant family. And the reason why it's a covenant family, because we are covenanted with God through our relationship with Jesus Christ as a covenant. Remember the new covenant? We're going to celebrate that later. The communion is a covenant in his blood between us and the Father, right? It's Jesus and the Father did this covenant for us, right? And also, we are, because of that, we are covenanted together too. It's not just a family. We are a beautiful covenant family. We have a covenant Father, and we have covenant brothers and sisters in Christ. And I love this so much. Hello? Thank you, bro. Sometimes people give you messages through a talk, you know. So, peace it up, Gideon. It's awesome. It's so important. See, it's how we do family and it's how we relate to one another has everything to do with how we are becoming the dwelling place of God. That's why the revelation of sonship and fatherhood is so important. God wants us to belong to a family. Psalm 68, 6. God sets the lonely in families. He leads out prisoners with singing. So Jesus Christ has not only saved us from our sins, as far as the east is from the west, the sins are gone. Yes, you are saved. It's not about today. I heard somebody the other day say to me, Gideon, there's quite a few people in our church are still afraid of losing their salvation. If you're a Christian, you cannot lose your salvation because it is not your salvation. It's God's salvation. It's a gift to you. It's a gift to you that you come in by faith and you're adopted as a son. He's not going to re-adopt you or de-adopt you. You can be unadopt you. You can be naughty. And it's just a naughty kid. It doesn't mean he's going to... Anyway, he doesn't even go there. So... Please be secure in your salvation. Your sins will be forgiven as far as the east is from the west. It's a once-for-all deal for all time. More at Easter. When I preach at Easter more Sunday morning, I'll talk more about this. Thank you, Jesus. So good. So anyway, so we are saved from our sins, but we're saved into a family. You are now adopted son, daughter of God. Boom, done. Fait accompli. Yes, Jesus. Right? Now, if we treat the house of God, if we treat our church as a hotel, and we sometimes come in, and we frequent this place from time to time, rather than this being a home and a family that we are building into, that we are cultivating, that we are putting our time, our effort, our talent into, and receiving from this family, then we are missing a fundamental aspect of what it means to be a son and a daughter. A fundamental thing that we don't understand, that we are the family of God. Our family, your sisters and me. We have been adopted as sons. Come on, Ephesians 5. In love, let's say it together. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship. through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. He loves it like that. So to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given in the one that he loves. We have been, come on, adopted to sonship. Now, some of the ladies will say, hey, it's very male-oriented, sonship. Well, in the Bible, sonship means generic sons and daughters, just that you know. So please don't get offended. It's actually, sonship is a generic term for sons and daughters together in this way. Amen? Yes. So God brings the orphan spirit into sonship. The orphan spirit away from God, disconnected from God, into sonship. But I tell you, so many in the church, that sometimes I meet too, and I was one of them, are still orphans, even in the church. I know that we become sons and daughters of God, but they act like orphans. They feel like orphans. So God wants to heal the orphan spirit, and it only happens through sonship. And knowing the love of the Father for you and for me. Only a revelation of the Father's heart and his love, his unconditional love and acceptance of you, and also a revelation that we are family, brothers and sisters in Christ, will help you to do so. To go from an orphan spirit. An orphan spirit feels like I'm not good enough. I have to do something. I have to try harder. I'm the restless. Am I really doing what God wants me to do? All this kind of stuff, instead of knowing who you are and resting in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, it's how we conduct our relationships together. It's how we reconcile and restore to others when trust is been broken. You know, I'll tell you something. I had a meeting this week with somebody that trust was broken, and I was at fault, and I apologized, and he was also at fault. And we together came to do hugging in the end. And that relationship was restored. And it was really painful for me for a while. But the thing is, though, God did this. I want to give you a secret that I didn't give the first service, so that's only for you. I'll tell you what the secret was for me. Some of the counselors here who have been counseled me personally in this room know about this, that I had quite a thing of a rejection in my life and this whole thing of home. I didn't really get home because my parents were always missionaries, always traveling everywhere. And so there was no sense for home. I was always on the move. It was always like, people look after me. And I felt like an orphan in that sense, you know. Anyway, so I had this kind of thing, that a rejection type thing, and this kind of home, like an orphan type spirit, right? And so when people push those buttons and people leave my life, or they betray me, or I feel that they betray me, or they're nasty to me, or something happens, they push my button, I flare up like one of those things. You know, I go like orange or red. I go orange, I'm Dutch. And orange like this, you know. And I blow up like a balloon right now. And I say, you! And I want to be righteous, and I want to have righteousness, and I want justice, you know. And I go after these people, right? Wrong thing to do, right? So I've learned this year, which is really lovely, all the people, it's not that many, but the people, also in your life, all the people that you've had struggle with, could even be family. There's some kind of an offense going on, you haven't made up, it's just hard. You know what I do now? I go to the secret place. I said, Jesus, I can't resolve this, but you can. As God is my witness and my family, I have seen one after the other come back into my life, even back into the church, because I go to say, Jesus, you solve this thing. And then my heart stays soft because I don't have to prove anything. And then God starts doing this stuff, which I never could do. And I just reap the fruit of leaning into the Holy Spirit. So maybe this is for somebody here today. If you deal with stuff in your life, that's the way to deal with it. And I become a nicer guy too. If you get aggressive, you know, you're angry, you know, kind of react, you know, oh man, it's so bad, you know. And so I don't want to be like this, you know. I want to be lovely and kind. And so praise the Lord for all the stuff that he's doing in my life, hopefully also in your life. You know, it's how we engage with our brothers and sisters, particularly in Christ, but any relationship, has everything to do with the level of manifest presence that you will carry in your life. Yeah. And also how we would carry it in our church. I tell you, I found, like I said just now, I said, as I got healthier, yes, and I've gone to counselors because I needed help, So as I got healthier in my life, in my mind, my emotions, in my whole psyche, and as I got healthier, my awareness of the presence of God has so increased. And I don't react so much anymore. And it's just beautiful. And Catherine says, hallelujah. That's awesome, Catherine. You know, it's so beautiful in this way. We cannot become the dwelling place of God together when we are still struggling with an orphan spirit. Yeah. And so God wants to heal us of an orphan spirit. And he wants all of us to come into the revelation of sonship, loved by God, accepted by God. Daddy loves me. You are loved by your heavenly Father. Yeah. Daddy loves me. And I love Daddy. Look at my kids, you know, my kids are here, you know, and I love them. My grandkids, I'm a granddad. And still that granddad loves you, you know. And they can be naughty. I mean, Hawaii is not that naughty yet. You know, it's just like 7 months old, you know. But the thing is, though, he will get, you know, terrible twos are coming, you know. So anyway, not terrible, but I think it's fine. But you know what I mean? So, I love him. I love Frankie, who was just with us. Fabian and Samara are sitting there over there in the corners. They got engaged, and we had their engagement party on Friday. So congratulations. And so we got a great party together, and everybody came together. And I love my kids. Even though sometimes they can be a bit naughty or things like that, I love my kids. So we need to understand how much God loves you and me. Church is not this. It's not a 1.5 hour on Sunday morning. That's not church. We're a family. Every time we meet, this meeting, big meeting, life group meeting, one-on-one, we are the church, 24/7. We are a family. Amen? So important in this way. Praise the Lord. So you are no longer a slave to the orphan spirit and trying to prove yourself. You don't have to prove your value. You don't have to prove that you're good enough. You are good enough. You are good enough. You're always good enough. And the reason why is because God has accepted you before the foundation of the world through Jesus Christ and his sacrifice. That's it. So get with the play, accept it. If you need counseling, go see a counselor and make sure, or a friend, make sure you talk about this stuff. Get your pain healed so we can become everything that God has called us to do. You can really relax into your sonship. There's rest in God. Jesus, come to me. I'll give you rest. We can rest in his finished works on the cross. Rest in the love of the Father. Galatians 4. And because we are his children, God has sent the spirit of his Son, which is the Holy Spirit, into our hearts, prompting us to call out, Abba, Father. See, that's what we do right now. It's your Holy Spirit. It's crying out, Abba, Father, through us in this way. Now, you are no longer a slave to God's, no longer a slave, but God's own child. And since you are his child, God has made you his heir. Come on, this is so good. You're an heir of God. You are like Christ. You have the same inheritance. This is so amazing. But you cannot claim your inheritance if you're not a son. An orphan can never claim anything. They don't know what to do. Because they don't have that realization, I am a son, I have a right, not to become self-righteous and entitled, but you know who you are in Christ, so you can walk in everything that God has given to you, because he's given you so much spiritual blessing in Christ. Come on, Ephesians 1, praise be to the God, Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us, everybody say blessed us. Blessed are me in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the foundation of the world to be what? Guilty. No, we were guilty. He set us free. Jesus paid the price. Holy, blameless, and righteous in his sight. In love, he predestined us, hey, again, for adoption to sonship. Here, same verse again in a different chapter now. To sonship through Jesus Christ our Lord in accordance with his pleasure and his will. Only sons and daughters know how to access the blessings of God. Orphans cannot. They cannot. They have no clue. Sonship is the password into the blessed life, which sons know we receive by faith in Jesus Christ, because all his promises are yes, and we say the amen. That's the response that a son, not an orphan, a son and a daughter will always make. So I'm inviting you and the church into a healthy state of mind, into your identity, into sonship, so that we can become everything that God has for us. Verse 21, in Jesus, the whole building is being fitted together, grows into a holy temple. Look at it. We are growing. See that? We're still growing. Yes, we are a temple of the Holy Spirit, but we're still growing into the temple in whom you are being built, see, being built together for a dwelling place of God. God is looking for a people to dwell with. A people to dwell with, individuals, but also the church. And that's why David was so amazing. David was called a man after God's own heart. Not because he was so righteous, because you know, he had a character like us. He made a few mistakes, right? And so the thing is, though, he says, no, it's not about his nature, his character in comparison to the nature of God. No, no, it's about his pursuit of the presence of God. That's why he was called a man after his own. His pursuit all his life, his consuming passion was God's presence. Psalm 63, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there's no water. Psalm 26:8, Lord, I love the house where you live, the place where your glory dwells. Psalm 27:4, I mean, it goes on and on and on. Anyway, one more. One thing I ask from the Lord, this is only I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. Do you see the hunger of David? He was hungry for his presence. He was actually a new covenant prophetic picture in an old covenant reality. He was a prophetic picture of what you and I would become. He was so intimate with the Holy Spirit. He was so intimate with the presence of God. And he says about the restoration, he wanted to restore the rest of 24/7 praise. And that's why in the New Testament, in Acts, The apostles said, we need to see a restoration of the tabernacle of David. The restoration of the tabernacle of David is the 24/7 awareness of his presence as his people, as the temple of the Holy Spirit, but also as a company, a corporate, that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, the presence of God, the dwelling place of God. And it's only when we have a revelation of the Father, heart of God, and of being a family, that we can really be built up into the dwelling place of God. He wants us to become a dwelling place of his Spirit. What would it look like if you really have an awareness that you are the habitation of God? I think you would live differently. Yeah. I think you would take captive those thoughts that don't belong in the temple. They may belong in a hotel, but not a temple. Not a temple, Holy Spirit. Maybe some issues with people. Man, I got to make this up. I can't have this. This can't belong in the temple of God. You will guard your heart more. You probably will gossip less. You probably point a finger less. I am the temple of the Holy Spirit. I am a habitation of God. And that's why disunity in the church is so dangerous and so ungodly. And that's why we call this church Harmony Church. When we started with the church, people said, dumb name. You will ask for it. The enemy will come in and bring disunity. I said, I don't give a rip about the enemy. God is my God. He'll keep us united. He will deal with any enemies. I love the harmony because we love the harmony of the Godhead, the family of God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the perichoresis, the dance of the Godhead. It's so beautiful. And we've been brought into that by the Holy Spirit. Come on, guys. This is amazing theology. That's amazing stuff. We love harmony because we love worship. That's what we call harmony. We got harmony music because still in this thing was about music and worship. Harmony, harmony, harmony. We love the harmony of the body, soul, spirit. You can't just be healthy in the spirit only. Be awesome in the spirit. But here, your soul, you're still so pained. You're still an orphan. No, we want health in the body. Look after your body. Find healing. Look after your soul. A checkup from the neck up and make sure you are fine and make sure you're healed up. And also in the spirit, you know that you're a son of God. This is good preaching, guys. Come on, if the whole church know this, they'll be amazing in this whole thing. Oh, man, I'm so happy myself that I can see this. We need to practice Matthew 18 and be honest about our problems. I used to never do this because God's my witness and my counselor witness. I had this whole thing about my not good enough, you know, and rejection. So I would not have the honest conversation because I think if I'm honest with you, you'll run. You'll run away. And I can't cope with you running away because it will hurt me because you reject me and I find it. But we need to go there. We can't sweep things under the carpet any longer because it still is there and it festers underneath. We can't go there, people. So I want to go there. I want to be vulnerable. It says in Matthew 8 to be vulnerable. I love you too much not to resolve this issue. And so when I had this time this week with this guy and resolved it, it was so wonderful. Yes, it was hard to come together, but it was beautiful because God had been working in both of us for the last 2 years to soften our hearts and to love to come. We didn't even go to each other like this. It went like this straight away. Come on, you start believing that because God will do this. He will start to working in your enemies even, in your lost kids or friends or family or whatever. Let him work in a life. Pray. Go on your knees. Lord, you do it. And then see the salvation of our God in this thing in Jesus' name. I'm almost done. Jesus. See, the whole thing of this sonship and what it means to become a family will in the end determine how much glory and how much weight of glory we will carry together corporately. It's not about Catherine or me. How if we spend 50,000 hours in the secret place, it is not about Catherine and me. I will do it and we will do it, but so do you. Or you invite it anyway. Because if we do it, we will not have the same glory than if we all do it. And more and more and more stepping into his presence, more and more stepping into a powerful relationship, more and more people getting healed up into sonship, knowing the Father's love for you, knowing Jesus our bride, wooing us into all that stuff. When it starts happening, we are being made ready for a wonderful dwelling place of the Holy Spirit in our lives. It'll become more attractive all the time. See, God is attracted to faith, to hunger, and to seeking him. That's what he's attracted to. So if you want him to attract you to you, say, Lord, I believe, I'm hungry for you, and I seek your face. Those are the things he really longs for, and he comes to you running. Amen? He's looking for Davids with a heart that is pursuing him to become a dwelling place of God. It starts with us personally, though. How we steward our time in our workplace, in our schools, at home, wherever we are, that we steward our time with him. When we do this right, then we will contribute together towards the manifest presence that we will experience as a family. Not even as a church, as a family. How we do finance, how we do health, how we do relationship, how we live in relationship with each other will affect the corporate anointing. This is what I wrote. The corporate presence of God in this house, in this church, can rise or fall by the individual commitment to daily prayers in their lives. Do you know what I'm saying? The corporate anointing, the corporate prayer, what God wants to build here, this dwelling place, can rise or fall by the individual commitment of all of us to go to the secret place. And as we do this together, one by one, become this army together. Now you can use army. This army of lovers come together and we become stronger and the water level start to rise and rise and rise and things will start to happen that we've never seen before. Are you not hungry that cancer would be absolutely healed like almost every time? It happened with Jesus. Why can't it happen with us? It was still not there. It sometimes happens, but mostly it doesn't. Now why not? There must be keys. There must be keys. There must be things that we have not experienced yet. Because Jesus says, you do greater things than I do. But I know it has to do with the anointing. I know it has to do with the frequency of heaven. I know it has to do with the presence of God. And as we start to have the presence higher and higher, people will walk into this room and get healed, even without asking, can you please pray for me? Because they come, they just walk into the liquid love of God, the presence of God, and they will get healed, or they will get delivered, or something will start happening in their lives. That's what I want. And that's what God wants. That's what was a prophetic word 2 years ago over our church. He said, God, this is what he said. He says, God is building at Harmony an apostolic headquarter of the Holy Spirit from which revival will grow. And the guy continues, a prophet from Australia, said it to us. And then he says, because God has heard your prayers in the secret place. Because he's heard your cry for him to do more. And because of that, he is building you. So right now, what you're feeling, if you come into this church, you may be new, you may have been here for 15 years. That's how long we've existed so far. 15 years, you know that God is drawing us into his presence. And it's happening individually and corporately. He is inviting you into revival, reviving your body, reviving your soul, reviving your spirit in the knowledge of the Father in Jesus' name. And so the anointing will start to increase. And then what will happen is, when the anointing increased, then more, the season of the more, year of the more, 24 for more, the more miracles, more relational issues will start to resolve, more all kinds of stuff will happen, more, what did I have, more healing, individuals restored, more disciples made ahead here, more healthy relationships, more love, more faithfulness, more discipleship, more growth and Christ-likeness, more calls to mission. All these things will contribute towards the weight of glory that we carry as a body together, as a family. I'm done. I'm done. I'm undone. Actually, I'm not done. I'm actually undone, to be honest with you. I'm undone. And we're going to, in a moment, stand. Actually, stand right now, please. Why don't you stand right now? So my prayer is that we will become the dwelling place of God, like Paul talked about here. That we will be built into the habitation of God. That we will become the gateway of heaven. That people will find heaven through you. Not just in this place, in the cafe, in the car, at work. Wherever you are is a gateway of heaven, because you are the gateway of heaven. And I pray in Jesus' name that you would really have an understanding who you are as the habitation of God individually and us as a church. And the manifest presence would increase like ever before. Oh Lord, we want to steward our character. Lord, we want to steward our hearts. Lord, we want to be set apart, holy, because you are holy. I know, Lord, you're drawing me into things that I've never been drawn into. I know you say to me, Lord, to know to certain things that are just normal in my life, but I can no longer tolerate in my life, because I want to be holy. The things of this world are not holy, and you are holy. And so, Father, thank you that you're drawing us into holiness, and the only reason is because you love us. And Lord, we love you, and we want more experience, more of your love, and we want to love you more, Lord. That's the only reason why we do this, Lord. So we want to thank you for your love, Lord. We want to thank you for who you are. We bless your holy name. Thank you, Lord, that we are adopted as sons. Thank you, Lord, that we're no longer orphans, but you've brought us into sonship, into your family, king's kids, and we worship you. Oh, Father, I pray for anybody in this room who's still struggling with the orphan spirit, that today there can be a turnaround, that you can give your orphan spirit to God, and you say, Holy Spirit, I, from the Father, I receive the spirit of adoption, the spirit of adoption, the spirit of sonship into my life in Jesus' name. Oh, we bless your holy name. You are so wonderful, so worthy of our praise. Oh, can we say it one more time? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. Oh, come on. We are so holy. He is so holy, and he's building us into this habitation of God, the dwelling place of God. Oh, we bless your holy name, who you are. Holy, holy, holy are you, Lord.